Welcome back to the Woodbury Report, where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com. Well, today is January 25th, 2016, and we're going to talk about therapy. My guest is Dr. Ben Belknap, a PhD. Oh, good morning, Ben. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Lon. Thanks for having me.
Well, Ben's the clinical director of Sunrise RTC in Utah. He has his PhD in school psychology, and Sunrise RTC is a therapeutic boarding school working with young ladies. So, the topic is therapy, a review, a new view of therapy. So, let's start off with you have something that you're doing that you feel is unique. What's the standard thing? What are you comparing against your new view?
Well, that's a good question. So, I've got experience in residential treatment, not just in Sunrise, but in other programs, and it's been a kind of an interesting experience seeing the different schools of thought and almost the I'm right, you're wrong kind of mentality. And you know, so when I work in the past in really programs that are behavioral, which is a lot of reward and punishment, reinforcement. That's kind of the view of it. The idea is, well, if I need this for my child, and anybody who comes in and tries to strike up a relationship and gets my child to talk, then that's not good. That's too soft. And then on the other end of the continuum, I've seen programs that say, oh no, behaviorism is bad. We don't want to have consequences. We need these people to connect to us, and if they connect to us, they'll be intrinsically motivated. We shouldn't have to rely on an external motivator. And so through the course of this exposure, I've realized that there can be both, that you can be both. And if we completely pigeonhole ourselves into I am a behaviorist, we're missing a big picture. And if I pigeonhole myself into I do the relational intrinsic motivated piece, then I'm also missing a big chunk of what's necessary, because life is a blend. And that's kind of my experience. That's been my experience at Sunrise, is it doesn't have to be either this or that. Why can't we infuse positive aspects of both of those?
That's a good observation.
That's a new view. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good observation, because behaviors has gotten, it was the thing back when I was in college, behaviors, everybody was becoming behaviorist, but now it's got sort of a bad name. And in our field, I think the boot camps, wilderness boot camps, did a lot towards that, because these were very behavioralist and very punitive on that. And so getting away from that, but still adopting it, everything you do, there's going to be some sort of behavioral change. So in that sense, you're always going to be behavioralist if you're going to do anything effective, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly the way I see it. And I feel like you're right. Like the behaviorism has gotten this bad rap of, well, it's just punishment, it's punitive, when really life is behaviorism. We'd be lying to ourselves if we said that we're not extrinsically motivated for things throughout, you know, even in relationships. And that's okay. That's living as a human being. You know, I was trained in a very behavioral program, which was great. And I left graduate school as a dyed-in-the-wool behaviorist. And I started getting more exposure to more therapy and relational approaches. And initially, that my thought was, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. And I realized, wait, there's a ton of value here, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I agree.
Okay. I think most people probably have a pretty good idea of behaviors because it's been around so long. The other you mentioned is the relational. So what's that about?
So, you know, that's a little bit harder to define. So you're going to have to be subjected to my own interpretation, I guess, of what that is.
Well, you're the guest. Your interpretation rules, at least here in this program.
All right. So my interpretation of what a relational approach would be, it would be more of while behaviorism is extrinsically motivating people, you get my praise, you get my reward when you do things. A relational approach strives for an intrinsic motivation, which is you connect to people, and when you follow through on what you say you're going to do, or when you regulate your emotions, you can look at how your life is better and how your relationships are better, and that can be what motivates you. through a connection. So a great example, and this is a great approach really for the right person. A great example would be here at Sunrise, a very relational approach a staff member took once was when a girl here was refusing to do her dinner chore. She didn't want to sweep. She got defiant, whatever. And the staff, the kids tried to hold her accountable. The staff tried to hold her accountable, and she just wasn't into it. So the staff member, who had a very good relationship with her, finally just said, you know what, this needs to be done. You're not doing it. The community's suffering, so we'll have to figure something else out. And the staff member picked up the broom and just started sweeping. And this girl, it drove her crazy because she had a very strong relationship with the staff member. She said, no, don't do that. That's my job. And he just said, hey, you know, it has to get done, you know. And it wasn't this sort of, it sounds a little passive aggressive, and it wasn't passive aggressive.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like maybe shaming her, but you can see it's not that.
No, it was not at all. It was more like, hey, look, this people are waiting for this chore to be done. It needs to be done, and, you know, I'm going to step up and do it. And the message they sent, because they did it so well, was because our relationship is good, I don't want you to suffer because of the community being upset. And the girl's interpretation was, I don't want you to have to do my chore. That's my responsibility. And ultimately, she's changed, and she started doing it because she was motivated by the relationship and not necessarily by the fear of a consequence or the fear of or the motivation of a reward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Could you think of a couple other examples to illustrate that? I tend to think in, I guess I'm a concrete thinker, I tend to think in concrete examples. Could you think of a couple other examples of how that worked?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we try to get a lot of self-reflection, and you mentioned shame, helping these girls to identify their shame. So taking a relational approach, it would be so when you lose control of your emotions, and your mom gets really upset and she starts to cry. My goal as a therapist would be to get that girl to look at, wow, my mom really cares about me and about our relationship, and this is having an impact on her. And when I can regulate my emotions better, and I can interact with her more respectfully, that feels really good to me, and I'm motivated from the inside because I love my mom. My mom loves me, and our relationship is then better. And when our relationship is better, my life is better, you know. And the other piece, when I reference shame, would be if I need to get them to identify the times in relationships when they do feel shame. Our girls here, that's one common denominator, and I think it is with most adolescents in general, is just huge amounts of shame which damage their self-esteem. So if I can take more of a backdoor approach and help you to develop a passion about life and identify some strengths that you have, then I can slowly build up your self-esteem. And in a relational approach, I would say the behavioral outcome would be a byproduct of you having a better self-esteem and feeling more motivated in relationships and in self-care. And in so, that byproduct of, oh, hey, I'm also now more compliant and managing things a lot better. I know that's not a specific example, but that's kind of the way I would look
okay, at it. Okay, well, let me ask on this. Like most of these kids, when they first enroll, they have a lot of behavioral problems. They don't understand. I would imagine initially it's largely behavioral in order to get them just to go through the drill and the routine, but it evolves into relationship or brings a relationship into it as fast as you can. Is that a natural progression? Have I got that right?
That's exactly right. And that's where, you know, we have to be pretty flexible ourselves as a program. You know, they come in, we have to be very concrete with them of, this is your, you know, you have to be on line of sight all the time, these are your privileges, these are the things you have to earn. It's very behavioral. And what we really work hard with parents on is helping them to recognize that the level system, take the level system for what it is. The level system is not the end-all be-all. Life is not a level system. So if we can deviate from that, even though we have to within the structure of our particular program, as you progress through the level system, you are then given more autonomy And it's and you're right. I mean, exactly how you place it. Instead of, oh, my, I'm a level 3, so I have privilege A, B, and C. It's more like, I have a level 3, so now I have more time to schedule. I have more autonomy to schedule my time, and I have more autonomy to engage in relationships that I want to engage in. And then the staff at that point are just sort of a support for them rather than a prison warden. That's, and obviously that's got a huge negative connotation, but more of less of a supervisor and more of a mentor.
Okay. Now, one other question, and that's very subjective, of how and why do you consider this a new view? Is it not very common to integrate these two like you're talking about?
You know, that's the piece. I wouldn't necessarily say that approach in treatment is a new view. I would say that the new view would be taking the positive aspects of a behavioral approach and taking the relationship and this relational approach and integrating them in our day-to-day interactions. And this became apparent to me in a behavioral program I had previously worked with. There was a girl who was really struggling with just basic respect and basic compliance. And I suggested that we put her on a reward system of when she speaks respectfully, she can earn this. And everyone in the room bristled. They said, oh, no, we're not a behavioral program. Well, I would say the new approach, an innovative way to look at it is, I'm not either a behaviorist or a relationalist. I can take pieces of all of that, which is what we strive to do at Sunrise. I just think as a professional, as parents, as a parent myself, and as an individual functioning in the world, it does take a lot of effort to stop and say, this isn't either a good thing or a bad thing. I can take pieces of both of them and integrate what it is. And I think if I expect a child to do that, you know, if I expect a student at Sunrise to say, hey, my mom is really strict with my curfew at 10 o'clock. That doesn't mean she's a mom who doesn't love me, and it doesn't mean she's overly punitive. I can take pieces of that and integrate it. If I expect a student to see them both sides, I certainly should be able to as a professional. And my experience, limited as it may be, is that professionals often are slow to accept both sides. They kind of have more of an either-or mentality, which to me feels like a little bit of a double standard. So mm-hmm. I think that's the innovative piece.
Okay. Well, we about ran out of our time, but I'd like to ask you to explain a little bit about Sunrise RTC, and then perhaps more importantly, if somebody wanted to talk to you more about this or hear more about Sunrise RTC, how would they get a hold of you? So first off, give a little bit of an overview of Sunrise RTC.
So Sunrise RTC is for adolescent females from ages 13 to 18. It's a residential treatment center, and we're also, as you mentioned earlier, licensed as a therapeutic boarding school. I want to make the delineation of being a residential treatment center because we do take girls with a higher acuity than a resident or a therapeutic boarding school. Mm-hmm. But we'll take girls who are actively self-harming, and we'll work with them on that front. That sort of thing. So our girls are usually more internalizers. The depressed, anxious, self-harming, suicidal ideation is a really big one. Like I said, 95% of our students have major self-esteem issues that have driven a lot of their behaviors and emotional problems, major family conflict. So we our goal at Sunrise is to meet our students where they are, and that means, you know, sometimes it is taking more of a relational, sometimes it's taking a behavioral. We're really proponents here of when we are behavioral that we do it right, which is we're not punitive. We realize that externally motivating people turns into intrinsically motivating people at time. We follow really closely a lot of Alan Kasdan's work, who he's more of a behaviorist, but he talks a lot about eliminating nagging, eliminating lectures, and just letting consequences and rewards talk, so to speak. And in doing that, that improves the relationship, and that's the hybrid. And then we can work on the higher level things like the relationship. We're also a DBT program. We're a certified DBT program, and that really drives the culture of what we do around here.
Okay, and if somebody wanted to talk to you or find out more about the program, how would they get a hold of you?
So I'd recommend they can go to our website at sunriserTC.com. There's great information there, and my specific contact information is there, and anyone who wants to talk with me specifically is absolutely welcome. I'd welcome any phone call. And our contact number, our general contact number is 888-317-3961.
Very good. Thank you very much. This is Lon Woodbury of the Woodbury Report. Been talking to Dr. Ben Belknap. It's a PhD, Clinical Director of Sunrise RTC in Utah. Well, thank you very much, Ben. This has been very, very good. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lon. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.